Such motivational music.
Oh, yeah.
Motivational, inspirational, anything that you'd like to call it and describe it. We got it here. We're improving on the overall content of the podcast right now, Ethan. We're in the second episode here of Around the Rim. And just like the beginning of the podcast, RMU women's basketball is getting significantly better. And it's only taken a short portion of time to get there. Austin Bechtold, Ethan Morrison here with you talking about Robert Morris women's basketball now. 2-8 overall, and also 2-8 in conference play in their first season of play in the Horizon League. And a big weekend it was at that, taking on the Wright State Raiders in a rematch of the January 15th and 16th matchup, where the Colonials got swept in Dayton. The Colonials at home were the ones doing the sweeping, Ethan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a night and day performance between what happened last weekend against Wright State at the Nutter Center and what happened this past weekend against Wright State at the UPMC Event Center. Just an overall great performance on both days. I mean, they trailed on Saturday by 12 points in the second half and were able to find a way to come back in that game and pull out the victory. So overall, a great performance for the women's team this past weekend, and looking forward to hopefully them stringing together some wins coming up this weekend.
Yeah, when you face a deficit like that, 11, 12 points, it's, especially late in the game, it's hard to come back from, especially when you're a team that, frankly, has struggled all year to put the ball in the bucket. And you're really starting to see the emergence of a breakout star. Freshman Sol Castro from Argentina is the catalyst on this team. I was honestly surprised because I expected Nina Augustin, Megan Callahan to be the ones to be the driving force, even Isabella Posset before she transferred out of the program. But you're starting to see Castro go into that role. You're starting to see her become a leader. And you're really starting to see that these Colonials are battle-tested, and Castro is the one that's leading them through the battle and winning the war, will you say, of the overall game.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, earlier on this season, they didn't have that one person that kind of stepped up and was that key facilitator in the offense. Now we kind of see Sol Castro kind of stepping into that role, saying, I'm gonna take charge. I'm gonna be that contributor that puts up, she put up 23 points on Saturday, like that person that's going to lead the team in scoring, lead the way on the offensive side of the ball, lead on the defensive side of the ball. She's just an overall great player, and just to see her blossom into what she has been able to do over the past couple of games, I mean, hopefully she keeps getting better and better as the weeks progress later on in the season.
Yeah, and she ended up taking home Horizon League Freshman of the Week honors for the great weekend that she had against the Raiders. And when talking to Coach B after the game on Saturday, he really spoke to the fact that, you know, getting to this new conference obviously is difficult and a challenge, and especially because they've had so many practices that they have had canceled because of COVID, to the point where they didn't have the consistent time with Castro when she first got into the program to be able to teach her, develop her, and be able to mold her game into where they want it to be. And now that you're getting that practice time more and more now and into these games, you're starting to see the player that the coaching staff was raving about. And, you know, you're starting to see the whole Horizon League start to take notice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I covered the team when they lost to IUPUI on January 2nd, he said the same thing. Just practice and just working in the gym is what they kind of, how they kind of form their game and try to improve on their game, which like any team does, but like practice is so important to them and how they improve as the season goes on. And, you know, it's just kind of nice to see everything come into fruition over the past couple of weeks. We saw it last week when they played Wright State before, kind of just be able to start to see that complete game, and then finishing it off this weekend with a sweep was very nice.
Right, and just some of the numbers on that. Castro played really well on Friday night in the Colonials' first ever Horizon League victory, a 50-43 victory over Wright State at that. She posted her first ever double-double, 23 points, 11 boards. It was a close game throughout with the Colonials leading at halftime. Castor dropped 23 points, as we said, and really was able to lead that offense for Robert Morris. It hasn't been seen, really. It's been seen at times. It's been kind of spotty. But the defense is what really stepped up. When you look at a stat sheet and you see the other team shot 24% from the field and 20% from three, you know you're doing something pretty well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not really contributing on that offensive side of the floor and you're not really getting a lot of help on that side, you're going to have to turn to your defense. And I feel like the defense is one of their strong suits, the one of their strong suits that we've seen earlier on this season, and then just them being able to put it all together is very nice to see.
It's always been a strong suit under Coach B as well, and along with rebounding. But rebounding has been a struggle this year, especially not having E-Ray, Ozymandiamidu, transferring out of the program after last season, and Nneka Ezebo graduating, as we've mentioned before. This was the closest the rebounding battle has been all season long, only a one-point differential. Now, the Colonials did not win it. Wright State took that point stat, if you will, 42-41 in favor of the Raiders. But whenever you're able to limit the opposition to only 24% from the field, those rebounds that, you know, some of them even offensive rebounds, when they're not going back up and into the hoop, you know, it's okay because that shooting percentage is just so low, so poor.
Right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, when you see this team kind of struggle on the rebounding side of things, I mean, you lost Ozymandiamidu, who was arguably one of the better rebounders on the team, besides Nneka, who was just a force, being able to grab boards. But, you know, I mean, having a person like Sol Castro on the team, being able to be that person to, you know, kind of lead the charge on the rebounding side of things, it's going to help. I still think they need someone, another big, to kind of help out in that role and being able to clean up the glass a lot better. But just overall, just when you're holding teams to low shooting percentages, you're going to win a lot of the time.
Yeah, and you started to see just as the weekend went on, Esther Castillo, Megan Callahan start to play a lot more to their potential, especially defensively. They both look great defensively in the series against Wright State. And Callahan with a bunch of key stops late in Game 1 and also in Game 2. But before we get into Game 2, there's a couple players I wanted to point out. Holly Forbes, I thought, played pretty well. And Mackenzie Amelia hit a couple shots as well. Hit a couple threes off the bench to kind of spark the Colonials offense a little bit. How much do you think this is needed and necessary for the team moving forward? Because I think it's pretty crucial to the team's success.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, if you just have one person kind of contributing, we see this a lot with men's basketball now this year. If you only have that one person contributing to the team, to the offense, you're not going to win a lot of ball games. And to see more of an effort for Megan Callahan, Holly Forbes, to kind of pick up more of the slack and give this team a little bit more boost, it was very nice to see, and very nice to see them start to improve on what has been a very rough start of the season.
Right, and, you know, the offense was good, but mostly the offense was mostly just Sol Castro at that point. But as the Colonials moved on from Friday night's victory, their first ever victory in the Horizon League, as we mentioned, they played even better on Saturday. Now, there was times when you were very concerned when the Colonials faced a double-digit deficit in that game late in the game, but Robert Morris was able to pull it out just by a narrow margin at the end, 68-65, your final score, with the Colonials outscoring Wright State 23-14 in the fourth quarter. And once again, Sol Castro led the way. 20 points she recorded. She also recorded 5 rebounds. Holly Forbes led the team with 7 total rebounds. But in just watching the game and covering the game, I felt like this was the most balanced the team has looked. This is the best offensively the team has looked. Now, Wright State was just hitting a bunch of shots. They were playing really well. And there were points when the Colonials really, they just couldn't stop Wright State. And, you know, that happens. Sometimes you got to respect the other team is putting up good offense, and you got to counter it with your own good offense. And it really was the case with Castro leading the way again, but also seeing Megan Callahan and Nina Augustin. Again, they flipped a switch. We're in double figures. Nina had 12 points, and Megan had 10 points. How critical do you think that was, Ethan, to really the success of the team going forward, especially because Nina had such a great floater in the lane to basically almost seal it for the Colonials late in the fourth quarter, plus getting a lot of key defensive stops?
Oh, yeah, it's extremely important to see some of the guards now. I mean, we talked about how extremely important it would be for the guards to be able to hit their shots, and we kind of saw that on Saturday. Wright State, don't get me wrong, a really good team. We didn't see that shooting on Friday as much as we did Saturday. Saturday, they were really on point, shooting 61% from the field in the first quarter, overall 46% in the game. But, I mean, to have Robert Morris's guards step up the way that they did and kind of be that supporting cast for Castro, it was just extremely important, and extremely important for the rest of the way in the season.
Channing Chapel was fantastic for Wright State. 28 minutes played, 7 for 7 from the field, including 6 for 6 from three. 22 yep. points altogether. Pretty great numbers there.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty perfect. Unbelievable. So lots of credit to her right there for just being able to basically keep the Raiders in the game the whole time. But
and she came off the bench too.
Yeah. And the Colonials defense, though, really just didn't let the starters do anything. Alexis Stover, no points. Jada Wright, 6 points. Jada Roberson, 6 points. Those are some of the better players on Wright State.
Yeah, and even holding Tyler Frierson to 10.
Yeah, and only 7 rebounds. And right. Frierson usually
this is their top
crushes well, yeah. everyone on the oh, boards. Yeah. So you started to see RMU just kind of start to figure it out a little bit. And Coach B was even saying the schedule was so difficult early on when you don't have any non-conference game to start the season off. Then you face Northern Kentucky, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's lost like one game all year.
Yeah, and they actually received votes for that women's top 25 poll.
Yeah, and as well as playing IUPUI and Wright State, who was only had one loss in the conference coming into the series in Moon Township. RMU's played a lot of tough teams. Now, the road gets a little bit easier, but not exactly. You know, facing brand new competition is going to be difficult. And when you end it with another new foe joining you in Purdue Fort Wayne, I feel like that's going to be a little bit more of an even matchup for the Colonials based on, you know, no familiarity and history there in terms of really the Horizon League, even though both teams are starting to figure it out. So maybe not as much as I'm kind of stating it to be. But going back to the game, RMU trailed 58-47 with 6:56 to play in the fourth quarter. And this is just when everything changed. And the Colonials really started to push the tempo, change the pace of the game, really took control of it, turned great defense into offense. And at that point, as Coach B said, the bench was fired up, the coaching staff was fired up and was getting the team ready to go and put a good game plan out there. And once it was executed, there was no looking back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In a season like this, when there's no crowd to feed off of your bench and everyone on the team has to be engaged and fully energetic and cheering on their teammates and everything like that. So to see the team kind of just all pull together and just be able to fight back from that deficit. And, I mean, they've been dealt a tough hand schedule-wise and everything COVID. And just to see them all, like, put it all together and come out with two victories this weekend was very huge for the success of this program.
Yeah, and Callahan was doing a great job distributing the ball as well. And that's something that we really have not seen that much. This team was, you know, there's a lot of isolation sometimes in the game. And Megan Callahan did a great job with 5 assists. In 0 turnovers and 34 minutes in game 2. Really played well. And I'd like to say was a little overshadowed by how well Castro played. So I feel like she definitely deserves credit for, you know, I would say maybe a little bit. She played a little bit like a silent assassin. Am I wrong?
Oh, I feel like the other two guards, Nina Augustin and both Megan Callahan, I mean, they deserve a lot of the credit because they were the ones to step up in this game. And they were the ones to kind of help Castro in the offense on the offensive side of the ball. So I think they deserve a lot of the credit being able to hit their shots and being able to pull out the win.
Yeah, and Dahomey Forgues also contributed 8 points, and Sidney Palermo came off the bench and hit a couple threes, which was nice to see because 3-point shooting has been really difficult for this team all year. To be able to see that and to be able to see the team shoot 40%, 41% in that second game, it's a little bit of an uptick that you want to see. And, you know, even though free throw shooting could be a little spotty, if you can just keep improving in one area and then work on the other and wait for that area to get to the level that you want it to be, I feel like as long as you're continuing to improve in some area that you can count on and focus on that you know is going to be critical to your keys to success, that's going to be a big part of it. And when you shoot better from three than you do from the field, that at times is, I know you're not taking as many shots from downtown as you are from inside the arc, but that's really going to help you long-term to be able to win the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think they're in a very good spot right now where they can kind of use this momentum and move into these next couple of games and next couple of series and try to make a push up the conference standings. I mean, every team makes the playoffs or makes a conference tournament, but I mean, to have a little higher seed and play a lower, not a lower opponent, but a less tough opponent. I mean, you might not even have to face Milwaukee until that second or third round, possibly. So if you can just build off the momentum that you got this weekend against, or last weekend against Wright State and build on it going into the next couple of weekends, I think they're in a very good spot and they could string together some wins.
Yeah, and, you know, I think getting the harder part of the schedule out of the way early really taught this program a lot. And especially dealing with the adversity that they had to go through, and you're facing this top-notch competition that, you know, maybe RMU felt what a lot of the NEC teams felt, having to face them as the big alpha in the conference in the NEC for so many years. I feel like now that they get that out of the way, they learned from it, they experienced it, they know what they have to do to be able to beat these good teams. They are playing teams that are not as that are a little bit closer to them in the standings. So I feel like this is going to help maybe a little bit of the confidence, I guess I'd say, just because they know what they have to do to beat the tougher teams. These teams that aren't as good as, you know, the Milwaukees, the IUPUIs, should be easier for the Colonels to be able to handle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just getting those two wins was extremely important for the confidence, to build that confidence going into these lesser opponents or a little more evenly matched opponents, and I think that's going to bode well for the Colonials coming up.
Now, one thing that does concern me, Ethan, in Game 2, the second game of the series, second win for the Colonials of the season and in the conference, the bench points were 40-14 in favor of Wright State. Now, I know this is because of how well Channing Chapel played and the key contributions that they got off their bench, with Chapel scoring 22, and the starters really not contributing much at all. But is it a little alarming that the Colonials really do not get that much protection off the bench? I'm surprised by how little the role for Natalie Villafour has been this year. She only had 4 minutes, the lowest of anybody that played. She didn't register anything on the stat sheet. Senior Laura Carrasco only played 5 minutes. Amelia and Palermo didn't play that much compared to Friday night's game. Does this concern you a little bit that the starters are playing so much and the bench, it doesn't seem like there's that much depth coming off the bench?
Yeah, it doesn't look like a lot of depth at all. I mean, you might be getting burnt out, especially late in the season, if you're playing these starters so much. It's kind of alarming. You don't really have that.
You don't have that go-to six-man type off the
bench. To give
you
that spark, yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it is a little bit concerning, but, I mean, if they can still put up numbers like they did on Saturday against Wright State, they can beat anyone in this conference.
Yeah, I think they can. And, you know, I think that mantra of, you know, don't count out Coach B and give him time to adapt, to discover what he has to do to win in this conference. He's a great coach. He knows what he's doing. And I feel like once you just get him settled in the atmosphere and get him settled with more practice time, like we're starting to see, the better the team has played throughout the year. I mean, the games at Wright State, even though they did lose, they were competitive the whole way. And up until this weekend homestand, that's the best the team looked throughout the whole season so far.
Yeah, and that's why we were like, I mean, if they can play a complete game and they can play like they played the weekend before against Wright State before they played them at home, they could win the game. They could split the series, and we saw them sweep them. So, I mean, they just need to put it all together, and they did just that. And moving on to Youngstown State this upcoming weekend, I mean, it's going to be a good test for them to kind of say, hey, we're not going to be that bottom dwelling team. We're going to move up in the conference.
Yeah, and Wright State, after that victory, good victory for the Colonials, going to try to ride some of that momentum against Youngstown State. Now, Youngstown State, they lost their first games in Horizon League play this season at home to the Raiders, 57-53 and 54-39 were the final scores to begin the new year on January 1st and January 2nd. The Penguins will come into Moon Township with an overall and conference record both at 5-3. They've only played 8 games, but they're on a 5-game winning streak to be able to get here, starting on the 9th of January at home against Oakland. And after defeating Oakland, played a series like the Colonials did. 2 on the road, 2 at home against UIC. And what do you know? The Penguins swept all 4 of those games. 77-66, 66-59 on the road in Youngstown. And then coming back home to Chicago and winning 88-78 and 71-55. So you see differentials there of almost all 10 or more, other than Saturday's differential on the 16th, which is a 7-point differential in that game on the road. What are you looking for the Colonials to be able to fend off this hot team right now?
I think just the same performance that we saw against Wright State on Saturday. I mean, just everyone contributing, everyone getting their foot in there and just being able to hit their shots, the guards being able to play well, the defense to continue to play well as like they have been over the past couple of games, the past couple of series. Sol Castro once again needs to step up and have another huge game to be able to fight off these red-hot Penguins. So I feel like it's just a matter of just, once again, piecing it all together and being able to come out the win, and they're at home too, so that's even better.
Yeah, even though there are no fans, I feel like the comfortability, I feel like, you know, even though that the home field, home court advantage, it's not there as much. You know, we think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hosting the Super Bowl this year. First team in the NFL to ever host the Super Bowl while they're in it and playing the game. You know, it doesn't feel the same because they're only going to allow 22,000 people in the game. There's going to be 7,500 healthcare workers, deserving healthcare workers that are going to be at the game. So it seems like there's just not going to be a lot of Buccaneer fans there. So it's not going to be like the home atmosphere of like completely having a game. Yeah. And I kind of feel that's a little similar. It's a good comfort feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't completely – it's not the same atmosphere. It's not the same vibe that you would have in normal circumstances, obviously. And I still think it helps, but I don't think it's as important. But I feel like the comfort is definitely something that makes you – just feel better about the game in general when you're getting ready for it and you're previewing it. And when you don't have to travel, especially with the regulations that are in place now, I feel like that's definitely to the home team's advantage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and especially when you didn't get a lot of home games to begin with this season. I mean,
this was only the second home series.
So, you started off the road at Northern Kentucky and then moved on to Milwaukee. And, you know, you finally got a home series against IUPUI. I mean, you kind of have your back up against the wall to start off with things. And, you know, just like I said, being at home, it gives you a lot of comfortability.
Yeah, and a Northern Kentucky home series only a week or two into the new year, which also got canceled. That was supposed to be at home. So the Colonials will host the Penguins. Tip-offs at 7 o'clock and 5 o'clock, January 29th and January 30th, Friday and Saturday night games. Ethan, before we go, who is a player that you're looking out for other than Sol Castro? Because we, at this point, we feel like she's figured out how to play in Coach Biscaglia's offense and his system. Who do you think needs to be a key contributor alongside her to kind of be the Robin to Batman?
I think it has to be Nina Gustafson. I mean, she's that veteran leadership on the team that you want. Great on the defensive side of the ball as well as the offensive side of the ball. We saw her kind of take a dip in production from what she did last season compared to this season, but she's finally starting to figure it out. And I feel like having her be that rock to Sol Castro, I mean, I feel like they're going to play a lot better, and just having two people kind of contributing to the offense will only benefit the Colonials.
I'm looking for Mackenzie Amelia to come off the bench and provide a spark. We know she's a good ball handler. She can hit the three if she's open and can knock down a shot. She's very capable of that. I want to see that spark off the bench that we really have not seen really consistently, if much at all, this whole entire season. And I think that's something that when we saw Palermo come in and hit a couple threes, the Colonials were able to go on a little bit of a run. And when you can get that bench depth scoring going, it really, to an extent, demoralizes the other team and makes your team feel like, okay, we take one of our better players out, one of our starters out, and we can replace them with someone almost as capable of them or maybe even playing better than them, then that's something of great value, and it could just bring some added confidence to the team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about, like, that spark plug, and like you just said, I mean, the spark plug is very nice. Having someone come off the bench and just be able to contribute, I feel like that's going to be a major factor in the game this weekend.
So that does it for this episode of Around the Rim. Here we are. We are at the end of this episode. For Austin Bechtold and Ethan Morrison, this is Around the Rim and women's basketball at Robert Morris. We played at Moon Township at the UPMC Event Center in Moon Township, Friday and Saturday nights, January 29th and 30th, with tip-off times in Game 1 at 7 p.m., followed by Game 2 at 5 o'clock at the UPMC Event Center and the People's Court, with the Robert Morris Colonials looking to improve on their 2-8 record and looking for the upward tick in the season to continue.